Hello, welcome to Peas in a Pod Cast. I'm Nathan.
I'm Sia.
I'm Henry.
And I'm Sube.
And we are a group of four students who are passionate about psychology and have come together like peas in a pod to discuss the world of psychology and the role it plays in our lives. Sia, this is a serious episode. Get yourself together. Yes, it is a serious episode because in this episode we're going to discuss discrimination and social justice. And this conversation really can't be had without the concept of racism, can it? Right?
Right, so, to start off, how would we define, a stereotype?
So, a stereotype is more a type of heuristics that you use to make a generalization towards a social group.
Well, and just to clarify, a heuristic is considered to be a failure in thinking, a failure in...
Well, it's not a failure. Yeah, it's more like a quick mechanism of thinking.
It allows people to make judgments very quickly.
Yeah. It doesn't really focus on the reliability and validity. It focuses on how quick you can process or how quick you can make your choice.
Yeah. Why do we rely on heuristics so much? I mean, there's a difference between quick thinking and really long, sustained, it's not necessarily quick, but rather automatic thinking.
I think this was mentioned in the whole dual processing model thing, in that we make so many decisions on a daily basis. There's so many that we make unconsciously or just automatic, as you said, right? And so because of that, maybe the more insignificant decisions, the ones that don't need much thinking, the ones that have become practice to us, how much soap to put on your body when you're in the shower. It's just, that's the heuristic part of it.
And also, mental processing actually takes requires a lot of energy. And if you use that amount of energy in every thinking, then it's going to be really tiring.
Yeah. So back to the concept of stereotypes and racism. I think we can agree that, racism is sort of the implementation of stereotypes,
right?
No, yeah. I mean, I think we all have stereotypes built into us, right? That we, somewhere in there, we make generalizations about groups of people, to a certain extent, to our experiences or maybe to what we've heard. But then the use of that, using that to judge people.
Using that to discriminate.
That's where it crosses the boundary into, racism. Like, when you use it to determine someone's behavior without having any idea of what they really are, yeah. Right?
And to define discrimination, I guess it's when we make distinctions based on things like gender, culture, or ethnicity, and it's an unjust distinction, and it can also be seen as an illusory correlation, So you attribute things to you attribute reasons or rationalization of things that aren't that can't be fairly rationalized.
I think we should define that the illusory correlation, because it's such a key concept to how stereotypes come to be, right? So an illusory correlation is when the behavior of an individual from a group is then used to create a pattern that is extended to the other people in the group, right? You form a relationship in your mind about
two things that don't really relate.
The main idea is that the perceived relationship between those two things is fake. It doesn't reflect reality. But because you saw one person do it, then now you've just made the correlation and determined it as fact. And that's where stereotypes originate that become insulting, you know what I mean? That they're not true, maybe they have no merit to them, but you're using them to judge people, and usually in a bad light.
Yeah, so racism is more like a stereotype that takes a form of fear. Like, it always has to accompany somehow, a disliking, a very strong disliking and anger.
So it's like a negative stereotype.
Yeah,
right?
Very negative.
And I think the heuristics come back into that, because when you're in fear, right, you kind of don't think twice, you know what I mean? So the heuristic part comes in.
You believe in your intuition. And stereotype doesn't always have to be negative. You can have positive stereotypes. Asian, good at math. That's a very common stereotype.
It's a praising stereotype.
It's a praising.
Again, it's how you take it, right? What if there's some? What if there's some? Doesn't. an Asian person who's not good at math.
Right, yeah.
All of a sudden they see it as...
Being Asian isn't really, it's a correlation, but it's actually not a correlation.
Yeah, because there's no trend to it.
We assume that being Asian somehow translates to being good at math, but there's no real correlation to reality.
And that phenomenon we refer as an algorithm homogeneity effect in psychology. So like it's an effect when you underestimate individual differences between people in an outgroup. So you just perceive people of outgroup as more homogeneous. So like they have everything in the same characteristics, right? But in group, so my group doesn't have the homogeneous. We are all diverse.
And we're all special.
Mm-hmm. So like it perceives us as like a more special group compared to the outgroup, which causes more severe racism and more discrimination, I guess.
And you know, social identity theory is all about putting people into groups, right? And and stereotypes can arise when we categorize people into certain in-groups and out-groups.
Mm-hmm.
That's one formation mechanism of stereotypes. Do you guys want to discuss any other ways stereotypes can arise, I suppose?
I guess stereotype is a type of a schema that you just feel when you see someone who belongs to a particular group.
So wait, what exactly is a schema, guys? For our listeners out there who may not necessarily know what
schema is. Like a mental framework. Like, it just allows us, it is developed naturally as unconscious process that like, it helps us to categorize the complex world into some way, more organized way.
Yeah.
So that when we see something, it just naturally allows us to connect to the related stuff. For example, when you see an office, you always just think, oh, if the researcher asks like, oh, what is in that photo? And even though you don't see the photo very detailed, you just gotta relate that office theme into a certain related term, such as like pen or like files and like everything that is just related to office that comes up in your mind.
So it's like more mental model that's based on our memory, and
mm-hmm.
it has a great effect on
and it's built over
expectations of things.
It's built over time, right? Through like interacting with the world, through like different experiences, or maybe it's different acquired knowledge.
And racism. Also, that's why racism is very hard to be eliminated in the world, because it's been developed for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's hard to just break it in one day.
Like, you see one thing and you want to assume that that's the whole thing, because it kind of provides us with a sense of certainty. When we generalize something, like we think we know, and we always want to be in a position where we want to know more.
Schemas are like so useful, right? In maybe non-racist cases, they're so useful. We use them so often to like maybe understand the world, make decisions, and I guess that is what makes it such a hard thing to overcome of racism. When you're in too deep with not racist thoughts, but like your generalizations you're making, and maybe you don't even realize it, right? That's the concept of challenging schemas, challenging stored knowledge or patterns.
And
that's not easy to do.
Yeah, and also racism is more like a in-group favoritism. So like it can occur as just a natural part of social categorization, because we belong to the in-group, not the out-group. But it can be also formed as a simple self-enhancement. So like, we just want to feel good about ourselves. We just want to feel good, and being a member of my group will want to bring a positive characteristics towards me. And that's, I guess, how just stereotype and racism was made. Because just white people want to make them more look superior so that they can dominate an other race much more effectively. So I guess it's a complex mechanism combined, which makes it more harder to eliminate the racism in the world.
So I think it's time we like brought in some research into like sort of support what we're saying. So could you guide us through the Rogers and Friends study from the mid-1960s?
So Rogers and Friends carried out how conformity leads to a more higher rate of stereotyping and also provides more willingness to discriminate against Africans.
What exactly is conformity?
Yeah, well, I think we better define it.
What does conformity mean in this context?
Conformity means like you make your belief match more to a social norm that you belong to.
And a key idea is that even if you don't believe in it,
mm-hmm.
right? You may not believe in something.
Or you may not have enough information to make a judgment.
Yes, yeah. But you still, because you want to be a part of that group, you prioritize being wrong
mm-hmm.
over... Sorry, you prioritize being in the group than, you know, being correct.
To conform constantly to, like, I guess, mimic or replicate yeah. the behavior of others.
And that is what we see in the study, right?
Or generally accepted type of behavior.
Yeah.
So Rogers and Friends brought some white Europeans who lived in African community for a period of less than 5 years or over 40 years. So the researcher gave the questionnaire that talks about the laws that Europeans and Africans were treated very differently in a scale of 0 to 6. And also based on the scale, it showed how badly they believed about the discriminated law and whether they would maintain the laws or try to get rid of them. And the researchers found out that majority of Europeans in who lived in African community favored the retention of the laws. And what the key point was that those who have lived in the African community for less than 5 years showed the least strongest correlation to the conservatism, which means that they didn't really want to keep the laws that might discriminate between Europeans and Africans.
So what does this tell us about stereotypes and racism? Like, what does this study, how does that study, you know, answer the question of how discrimination occurs?
Oh, so the white Europeans who lived less than 5 years, and by comparing those two groups based on the duration of the living in African community, the researchers were trying to say that the need to belong to a certain community allowed the white Europeans who lived over than 40 years conform their whole belief on discrimination. Like, they, even though they didn't really have the idea of discrimination against Africans, just the duration of the time made their belief unconsciously to conform to the social identity, I guess.
I guess you're saying, like, exposure. Like, the more exposure you
so
kind of have.
So basically what it's saying is the longer you're exposed to a culture, the more, the less bias, the less...
The stereotypes
you have about that culture.
I mean, being
a foreign person.
Yeah, I think it's a simple matter of, like, proximity understanding here, right? The more you interact and
the more you're exposed to a range of different
yeah.
different
because they accept that stereotype as their social role to do that, so that they can belong to a certain group.
And I think that this could be extended in general to, like, all cultures. The more you gain exposure to other cultures, the more you understand them and are able to empathize, right? And you no longer have these stereotypes affecting you.
So basically, these Europeans that lived in the African communities for longer than 5 years were less willing to discriminate against Africans,
yeah.
I guess, in Zimbabwe. That's one way to look at it.
I think at this point we should probably, like, bring up what's happening in the world right now, you know, considering the Black Lives Matter movement, the anti-Asian sentiments that people are expressing now. You know, in a time like this, it's important for us to realize the biases we are putting forth into conversation or in our own behavior, right? That's essentially why we're having this discussion, to make sure we are aware of how we're treating other people
and how stereotypes affect our both our thinking and our behavior.
Yeah.
It's one thing to like think in a stereotypical sense, but if you're basing your judgment, if you're basing your actions that may have an effect on others on those stereotypes, then that could pose negative effects to society.
Yeah.
An extreme action of stereotypes is racism, and as a result of racism, it leads to the Black Lives Matter campaign, and it also leads to those hate crimes, especially in these COVID-19 situations. There are a lot of haters on the Asian people. For example, in Australia, there was an 80-year-old Thai man who was pushed by this Australian guy.
Yeah, that was sad to see.
Yeah, and then I think he passed because of it, or he was seriously injured because of it.
What's really interesting was that I read somewhere that when the coronavirus pandemic initiated back last month in February, I believe, what happened to Chinese owned businesses, and to track back, the government of the United States, Donald Trump, constantly labeled the coronavirus as the Wuhan virus or the China virus, and I believe that may have been a factor that influenced people to think that that influenced people to attribute sickness or having that virus
it's the emphasis, right? You're creating that illusory correlation between Wuhan, the people from there, or the people from China, and this virus that now people have fear of.
Yeah, so you're somehow looking for someone to blame this.
Yeah,
scapegoating.
But
I mean, it originated in China, but constantly calling it the Wuhan virus or the China virus just led to. It would lead to the formation of many stereotypes. One interesting thing that I read online was the fact that a lot of Chinese-owned businesses or a lot of Chinese restaurants, those little mom-and-pops, Chinese grocery stores, they experienced a much much more significant decrease in business ever since the beginning of the pandemic, And although stereotypes may be one of the reasons that, and I think stereotypes or the formation of or having prejudiced beliefs could be one of the reasons for that effect.
Sometimes I try to sympathize or empathize with even in racist people, that I try not to blame them, because at the root of it is fear, right? We have fear of the unknown, and that is what leads to things like the stereotypes that we discuss.
And we want to know, we want to have that feeling of knowing something.
Yeah, so I'm not justifying their actions at all, but I understand where they're coming from. And I just think it makes it even more important for us to be knowledgeable about things like this, to realize how we are being affected and why it is at the root it's wrong, right? It's not true, it is insulting, it is and defamatory,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. And
it's not fair.
It's simply not representative of the truth.
Yep.
And I think in today's world, communicating or creating stereotypes are much more unnoticed than one would imagine, because I'm not sure if you guys have seen the documentary Social Dilemma, but the way that social media is operated is through algorithms, and such algorithms are designed to make revenue for social media companies. So what they try to do is they try to get you to interact with content that you like, and they constantly feed you content that you like, so you stay on social media more, right? And the more you stay, the more ads that they can show you and the more they can monetize your activity.
Like literally, like a human being, they are noticing the patterns about your thinking, your perspective on the world, mm-hmm. and then using that to push advertisements on you. But not only that, they're supporting you with information that then builds builds your own biases, right?
That confirms your belief.
The confirmation bias.
Right.
Exactly. That, and you start to seek out literally information that confirms your pre-existing beliefs. That just enforces, strengthens the stereotype mindset and makes you more likely to become or exhibit racist behaviors.
Right, if you're someone who holds a stereotype that, oh, all Chinese people have the coronavirus, then I guess how social media would influence or keep like reinforcing that belief is through, you know, through constantly feeding you the articles that you interact with, right? And so, I don't know. Social media has a strong influence on building stereotypes, I believe.
And a time like this, especially with people like us who are so influenced by social media, it's all around us, but more than ever, especially we encourage our viewers to maybe reflect on how is it impacting your perception of other groups of people your behavior towards them.
It's not right. It wouldn't be rational to question everything we know. But
yeah.
Rather, just to be more aware.
Mindful is what they call it, right?
To question our beliefs from time to time.
So, what do you guys think, like, how to reduce the prejudice and discrimination? Because, like, what I figured out is that the reason that stereotype and racial discrimination is all where it generated was from the different view of out-group versus in-group, and I guess it actually suggests that if we help in-group and out-group to stay much closer and remove that misunderstanding, that would be a very good way to reduce the prejudice.
And once again, that's where the exposure comes in, right? You're exposed to other cultures.
Exposed to multiple perspectives.
We talk about being global-minded students, global-minded people. With the internet, we are connected with people all over the world. And I guess a benefit maybe of social media is that it allows us to expose ourselves to cultures like that.
And also the social norms has to be changed. Like, if the social norm doesn't really attempt to like change itself into a more way that we can include in-group and out-group together, then it would be very hard to like try to remove the racial discrimination over time, I guess, because people try to conform, and the conformity just naturally happens very unconsciously. I guess also social norms has to be changed.
And for a second before we wrap up here, I think it's important for us to address what are the effects that stereotypes and racism have on people that maybe we don't see immediately. Obviously they're insulting and stuff, but what are the ways they maybe unconsciously affect people? I'm talking about stereotype threat, right? You know, the idea that people who are stereotyped against, they start to internalize those stereotypes, and then they conform to the stereotypes. They adapt their own behavior, thinking they need to behave that way, right?
And like having knowledge of your own stereotypes could also lead you to, I guess, performing to that nature, you know, to conforming to, like, for example, if you're...
What if there's a young black student who, like, is being told that you're more likely to end up in prison than actually end up being successful.
And that could play a role in that person's mindset.
Yeah, it is so impactful, like more than we realize. So I think more than ever, we need to be conscious
and
about
stay aware of stay aware of, you know, overlooked.
And it's also important not to generalize a simple idea to the whole.
Guys, I think it's really beautiful that we were able to talk about something so important like this, especially in a time such as this where it's tense in the world.
Right.
So thank you everyone for joining us on this this important discussion, and we'll see you next time. This has been Peas in a Pod
Cast.